And welcome back to the show. Hour number three, Brent Q here on a Tag Team Monday. Dylan Bundy, Orioles prospect, coming up at 8:15. We'll do some headlines and get into other kinds of fun stuff on the show tonight. But joining us right now, he's the all-time winningest football coach at Johns Hopkins University and a program that's been around for over 100 years. He's starting his 25th season there at Homewood Field. That is amazing all by itself. And he's created a Division III power. He is Jim Margraf. Coach, how are you?
We're doing great. Doing great, Brett. Thanks.
Well, always a pleasure to talk to you. How do the guys look this year?
You know, we've got a solid crew coming back. We return, eight or nine starters on defense, a group that was very good last year. But we lose a ton on offense. We only have three starters returning. We lose our quarterback, all-time leading receiver, and maybe four of the best linemen ever to play here. So we've got some work to do, but we've had a great summer, and we're ready for next week.
Now, you've always been successful as the head coach at Hopkins, but things have really, over the last 10 or 15 years, become amazing to see. The trips to the postseason, five trips to the postseason, nine Centennial Conference titles, 17 All-Americans. Why did it change so rapidly, I guess, from going to having a good Division III program to a national power?
We've had some enhancements to our staff. We used to have one full-time coach. Now we have three or four guys in the office with me every day. And we really have just a great group of kids. I think a lot of things have helped us, too. Hopkins is a national university. Just the internet, what's gone on with recruiting, the access we have to more student-athletes. The Ivy Leagues run the number of camps during the summers we go to. So we're really pulling in people from over the country. When you look at Division III rosters, a lot of them are very local. We've got some terrific local players on our team, five or six guys from Maryland, but we've got 10 guys from Florida, six or seven from Texas. So we're really pulling some talented student-athletes from all over the country right now.
And, Coach, so when you look at this year and obviously the expectations, you sustain winning, so the expectations are high. Where do you see the offense as far as the leadership and just the identity of it moving forward?
That's a great question, and I really feel, we talk to our guys all the time. Last year we knew we'd be graduating four offensive linemen, and you really just preach to your guys to invest your time. Don't just spend your time. Come out to practice each day and get a little bit better. And I think that the positive we have right now is our guys have seen success. They've seen how hard the guys before them have worked. There is expectations, but I don't think they're daunting in any way. I think the guys that are replacing the players from last year are excited about having their opportunity. So it's really been just an outstanding offseason for us in a lot of ways. But there are a lot of questions to be answered, and we'll find out pretty soon.
Coach, when you look at just the league itself, in just the way of the landscape of college football, do you think overall, obviously from the Division I level standpoint, you're talking about the Power 5 conference, do you see any trickle down as far as the pressure to perform, the quote-unquote TV contracts, all that college football has become? Do you see any of that trickling down to your conference in particular?
I don't think so. I think in a lot of ways, the guys in Division III will tell you maybe it's the purest part of scholar athletes in college football, with college being important, students being important, and there's pressure to win at any level, and I think no matter who you talk to, any coach, any player, there's no more pressure than from yourself. So I think our guys take it just as serious as anyone else. But I think as far as the outside forces that are pushing down on some of the big schools right now, I don't think we really have that in Division III as much.
And the last bastion of pure amateur athletics, maybe, probably what you're alluding to there. So you're telling me, Coach, your kids actually have to go to class when school starts? You're kidding me.
That's funny. Someone was asking me, do we have guys staying during the summers? And the answer is yes, but we had nine seniors stay here to study for the MCAS, the medical school exams, and lift. So it's a little different than some other places, I think.
Oh, that's too good, Coach. That's too good. Yeah, honestly, in all seriousness, your program, I think, is now 14th in the country as far as national ranking. Again, you're going to the first or second round of the NCAA tournament a lot, winning the Centennial Conference. By the way, go easy on my Red Devils this year. But in all seriousness, where's the gap? Do you think if Hopkins were to play maybe a lower-tier FCS school, they could compete? Or could the powers of Division III compete with maybe the lower FCS schools?
I think maybe the powers of Division III. There's three or four schools that have separated themselves from everyone else. Mount Union in Ohio, and then Wisconsin-Whitewater, being the first two that jump out at you. But there's two or three others that are really outstanding. And I think after that, there's just a ton of schools. I think the Centennial Conference is well represented. We've been we've been doing our part the last couple of years. But, you know, over the years, Dickinson and McDaniel College, Muhlenberg, they've all done very, very well on a national level. So I think there's three or four that could possibly compete with some FCS schools. But honestly, you know, there is a divide between the divisions.
And, Coach, I guess the one thing I look at, you know, you're talking about recruiting and developing a team. Is it frustrating to go out there and realize, you know, a guy might be talented enough, but he just doesn't seem like the right fit for your team, so you're going to have to move on to the next guy, as far as just the Hopkins way?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, of course. I mean, you always want the best football players, but I'm really fortunate here. We have just a, you know, fantastic group of guys, and as you mentioned before, last year we went 10-0 in the regular season and lost in the first round of the playoffs. We also had three academic All-Americans on our team, and you know, just terrific guys. So I think you know, what we have here, like I said, true scholar athletes. We have a ton of guys that are really doing things the right way, and we just want the best fit for our football team. It's not always the best football player, quite honestly, but we want the best fit for our team.
Hey, Coach, and as far as just, I guess, the coaching tree, do you have a branch? Are you a branch, I should say, off of the Chip Kelly tree?
If you want to say it this way, Chip's a branch of our tree.
Well, there you go. Okay.
That's even better.
My first full-time guy was a guy named Bob Benson, who became the head coach at Georgetown, and this was Chip's first full-time job. He had he moved in with my wife and me. My wife and I just got married in August. Chip moved in with us in January. And we lived with Richie Schell for a little bit, who's now the head coach of Boys Latin. But, you know, Chip's a terrific guy and a great friend, and I got a chance to spend a couple of days with the Eagles this year. But this was his first full-time job, actually.
And so he is an outside-the-box thinker. Did you say, hey, listen, remember, all that outside-the-box thinking, I'm the one who started it all.
Wasn't that at all. He's always been an outside-the-box thinker and really you know, just a great mind to be around. So we had a lot of fun with him back in here. And he's mentioned Bob Babb, our baseball coach, who's another guy who really outside the box. And they used to spend hours just talking about different situations, different things offensively and defensively. Really kind of neat to be around.
That's really, really cool. What did you think of Eagles camp, Coach Margraff?
It was fantastic. I mean, you know, again, he's always been an outside-the-box thinker, but, you know, Chip has some resources to do the things he wants to do, try some things that are a little bit different, and it's really impressive. It's an impressive operation, and you know, just really happy for him and certainly proud of him.
Last question. Jim Margraff is with us, the head coach of Hopkins football. I know this really doesn't impact you, I don't think, but lacrosse in the Big Ten, is that impacting anything else at Hopkins athletically right now?
Well, it doesn't impact us, but I think it's great for Hopkins lacrosse. I mean, obviously, we're huge Hopkins lacrosse fans, and Dave Petromal is just a huge proponent of Hopkins football. So I just think the added exposure will be great for them and great for the university.
Interesting stuff. The season starts, by the way, coming up on September 6th, right around the corner at Homewood Field. Randolph-Macon is in town for a noon kickoff, and a lot of great football coming to Homewood Field this year. Good luck to you, Coach. We'll catch up in hopefully a few weeks.